3 minutes. Now I want to give you a couple of more minutes to share with someone near you, if you're willing. What is the Spirit saying to you as you listened to the book of Philippians? And Skinner Room, be ready. I'm going to ask an ambassador from there to come to the tabernacle and shout out what you're hearing. You got a couple of minutes. All right, that's 3 minutes. Can I hear from you what you heard? Skinner Room, let's go. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He's saying the transformed life throughout the book of Philippians, for to me, is to live as Christ, is die as gain, but there are other things you need to keep after. So good. Yeah, over here. Oh, isn't that great? Press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly. That's so good. Thanks for that. Yeah. Can you say it a little louder for me? I'm sorry. Nice. Go, I am with you, do not be afraid. That's just a theme throughout all of the Bible, isn't it? Thanks so much. All right, Skinner Room, what you got? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice. Confidence in God. Trust. Awesome. Thank you so much. You guys are great. You know, like in drama, there's always the sort of comedic relief. You know, you've really been helpful in that way for us. All right, now that I've broken our relationship, I'm sorry. A couple of other thoughts. What did you hear? Yes. Stand firm in one spirit with one mind for the faith of the gospel. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, our citizenship is in heaven. Just a quick story. Is that okay? I've got some other stuff. We're going to be done by one for sure. So Kristen and I were in London. Did I tell the story already about being in London? Yeah, okay, great. Our citizenship is in heaven. Awesome. Other thoughts?
Our goal in life is God's glory.
Our goal in life is God's glory. Amen. What's the great confession, Westminster Catechism? What is the chief end of humankind? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So good. One last word, yeah. Live up to the truth that we have obtained. Yeah. Yeah, Paul kind of goes back and forth. Not that I've already obtained this, but I press on. Yeah, so good. Thanks. It's 22. I'll try to make this quick. Here's what captured my heart. It's chapter 4. Oh, by the way. I thought we had 5 days. So as I'm preparing, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll divide Philippians into 5 sections. It'll be awesome. And then I realized, I think on Friday, they had told me this weeks ago. It's totally on me. I only have 4. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just skip Friday. So I'm watching. I'd skip sort of the bulk of Philippians 4. So what happened last night with Dr. Ellens? Philippians 4. I was like, oh my word, that's incredible. He did a way better job than I ever could have. So thank you, Lord. I want to gather around just this first verse from Philippians 4:1. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. One of the cool things about technology and COVID and Zoom and all that, you can be in multiple places at once. So currently I'm also teaching a class at Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan. It's all online. I have not seen a single student, but we're doing all this stuff online. One of the books we had to read was a book on the class is on leadership. It leads us towards the Global Leadership Summit out of Willow Creek in early August. One of the books we had to read was about leadership, and one of the books, that book, divided into 3 sections, the first 5 minutes of a relationship, the first 5 hours of a relationship, and the first 5 days of a relationship. So the first 5 minutes, that's the book is divided into those 3 sections. The first 5 minutes is basically the first impression. And the author suggests there are 3 keys to making a good impression. The first is eye contact. That made a ton of sense to me, you know. The second was the use of your hands, which sort of surprised me, which is my new commitment to myself. When I preach, I'm going to stand up and say, hello, everyone, and it'll be a great first impression. The author also said, putting your hands in your pockets is like the death knell to a first impression. Okay, the third, guess what the third was? How you stand. If you want to make a good first impression, stand firm. Keep your feet shoulder-width apart, your shoulders back, your head up. She calls it the launch position. Whatever. I just thought it was fascinating that a leadership leader speaking on leadership would also suggest standing is a necessary reality if you want to live well. And Paul, for very different reasons, says the same thing. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. There's a certain way of standing firm. It's not just stand firm, it's stand firm in the Lord in this way. Here are 4 things, if you're the note-taking type, 4 things about this way of standing. Keep centered, keep focused, keep together, keep hope. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. Keep centered, keep focused, keep together, keep hope. Keep centered. the fundamental, necessarily fundamental conviction of Christian anthropology, the Christian way of understanding humanity, is this: your identity is in Christ. That's it. Paul says, this is verse 12, chapter 3, not that I've already obtained this or I've already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's it. There it is. The necessarily fundamental conviction of Christian anthropology, you are in Christ. We've gone over this earlier in the week, so I don't need to belabor it now. You are not your job. You are not your family. You are not your pedigree. You are not your degree. You are not the places you've gone or the things you've done, whether good or bad. You are in Christ. You belong to Christ. He has already made you his own. If you're going to stand firm, keep centered. When I was younger, I'd play basketball, and one of the drills that coaches would, it always didn't make much sense to me at the time, but I'm starting to understand a little bit more now. One of the drills we would have to do, we'd all have to stand with our shoulders, our feet shoulder width apart, our legs bent. They actually wanted us on the balls of our feet, and then the drill was they would walk around and push us. They'd shove us. And the goal was not to move. And if you got off balance, the likelihood of you falling was increased exponentially. It's when you stood firm. And to stand firm requires a center. To get off balance, you'll fall. Stay centered. You are in Christ. You belong to Christ. No one can push you around if that's the case. It doesn't mean it will always go well for you. Paul says himself, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings. It doesn't mean it all goes well for you. It just means you know who you are. One of my friends says, what are they going to do? Take away your birthday? You're in Christ. Keep centered. Stand firm in this way. Keep centered. Keep focused. Next verse. Beloved, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forget what lies behind. Learn from the past, of course. Yes, it's a necessary teacher. But don't turn around and look towards whether it was the shame you carry or the guilt of the thing you did or the accomplishment you made. Paul just got off this long list of accomplishments that he did in life and, frankly, was given in life. Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I've had, these I've come to regard as loss. It's not just the shame and the guilt and the past you can't change. It's also the accomplishments we love to think about, look back on, and celebrate. Forget about it. Strain forward to what lies ahead. And what lies ahead is redemption, resurrection, restoration, reconciliation. That's what lies ahead. So strain, keep focused. Again, learn from the past. It's a great teacher, but don't stay focused on the past. Move forward. Some theologians refer to it as the theology of hope. We know what will be one day. So live like it's true now. Participate in what will be. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Keep focused. So I've been jogging a little bit this week. Wake up a little early, think about what we're going to do here, and then I go for a jog to kind of clear my mind and also clarify what it is I hope and trust the Spirit wants for us. So I start out over here, and I hit Channel Road, and then take a left on Lake Harbor Road. Harbor Lake Road. I go underneath. There's a little park, and I go underneath the bridge, and then back up out. It's like 2 miles to Seminole Road, and then I jog to the fire department over there. I think it is. I walk back to Lake Harbor Road because I'm old, and then I jog the rest of the way. Yesterday morning, I'm doing my thing. I'm jogging along. I get to Seminole Road. I take a right, get back to Lake Harbor Road, take the left, and all of a sudden, like 25 high school students from the local cross-country team. It was not pretty for me. They very generously but very clearly ran past me in such a way that it felt like I was doing one of these, you know? And I'm sweating up a storm, and the sweat's getting in my eyes, and then because I'm older, I'm like 43, my old man hip sees up, but my old man stubbornness doesn't care, so I just keep going. Now I can't see anything, and I'm limping. I'm looking like a wounded zoo animal running down, and the whatever Mona Shore's team's running past me. I'm feeling like a total loser. I want to quit. I want to stop. I'm going on Lake Harbor Road, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a bald eagle comes off of Mona Lake right in front of me. It's probably not true, but it felt true. I felt like I could touch this bald eagle, and then it just sort of like led me along this Lake Harbor Road, and then finally when it saw that I was going to be okay, it might have actually been thinking about dinner when it saw me running at first, then it darted down into the channel and disappeared. I'm exhausted. My hip is tight. I can't see anything. And all of a sudden, from Isaiah, even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. I'm keeping my eyes on that eagle as it's dragging me along. Keep focused. Forget what lies behind. Strain forward to what lies ahead. If you're going to stand firm in the Lord in this way, keep centered, know who you are. It's Christian anthropology. And keep focused. Keep your eyes ahead. Third thing, keep together. This is hilarious. I mean, it's not funny at all. It's only funny because otherwise you'd cry. Verse 15, let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you disagree about anything, this too the Lord will reveal to you. But the immature ones, they can argue, fuss, and fight. But let those of us who are mature be of the same mind. And how many times in Philippians does Paul rehearse the same thing? Be of the same mind, have the same love, being full accord of one mind. We live in a divided world. And if the Christian community cannot step up in unity, who will? Keep together. I'm not suggesting we have to agree on everything, but I am suggesting in a polarized, dividing world that loves to push people apart and aggravate division, can the Christian community be the people who offer a different way for the world? I was thinking maybe someone said amen, but I was thinking I'd get a lot more for that. So I'm the pastor of a place called Pillar. It's in Holland. I won't belabor this, but I'm really grateful to be a part of that community. Long before I got there, so this is in no way reflective of me, long before I got there, the Spirit of God was doing an amazing work. It didn't look like it. In 1847, the church was established by Dutch immigrants. They quickly joined what's called the Reformed Church in America. Anybody heard of the Reformed Church in America? Now we call it the RCA. A second denomination quickly formed after that, called the Christian Reformed Church in North America. Anybody heard of that? The CRC. So you got the RCA and the CRC. Pillar, as it established, became a part of the RCA. The CRC was established in 1857. There was all kinds of tensions that were emerging in the church in those early years. So in 1882, Pillar fell prey to the divisions. They held a meeting, 86 men, 75 voted to leave the RCA. 11 voted to stay. The reasons they were arguing, communion, open or closed, education, Christian or public school, music. Can you imagine the Christian church arguing over music? They thought those hymns were too progressive. Really, this is true. They thought hymns were too progressive. You could only sing the Psalms. And they argued about other things too. So 75 men vote to leave the RCA, 11 vote to stay. What are the 11 going to do? So a couple days later, they come back to the church, this group of 11, to have a meeting. They find the doors are locked with chains. The elders are there with axe handles to make sure that minority does not get in. The mayor is walking in front of the church in the sidewalk, as the reports go, with his fists clenched. The story showed up in the Chicago Sun-Times. It was described in the newspapers as a riotous disturbance. Doesn't that sound like a great church? Who doesn't want to be a part of that church? We leave the RCA. In 1884, we join the CRC. The small band went to form their own church. They called it First Reformed Church. Just a little jab. Went on to sue Pillar, a case that rose all the way to the state Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, "Aren't you all the people of reconciliation? You figure it out." So they never waited on a decision. So Pillar goes to the CRC. 130 years later, now we're getting closer, we remained CRC and lived with that division, and Pillar paid the price. It began to struggle. It began to decline. It began to die. That's what they said in the early 2000s. They described themselves to me as a dying congregation. They thought about giving the keys to the city of Holland because it's the oldest building in Holland. Actually, the oldest building. It survived the fire of 1871. Gail was talking about a fire up in Muskegon sometime. It was interesting to me. Do we give the keys to the city of Holland, or do we pursue a different future? They're too stubborn to give the keys to the city of Holland. So they imagined a different future. And they felt like if we're going to pursue God's future, we should probably confess the sin of our past. So in 2012, at a worship service, two pastors, one from Pillar, Chris DeVos, and the other from First Reformed Church, Dan Gillette, stood up in a worship service on a Sunday, publicly confessed the sin of division, and repented by making Pillar a duly affiliated congregation of the RCA and the CRC. That's when I joined the scene. I'm telling you this story because I'm so proud of that group of people, which I, up to that point, had nothing to do with. Because they caught Paul's vision. Keep together. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. Keep centered. Keep focused. Keep together. We've been over that too. Last thing, then we'll call it a morning. Actually, we'll call it a week. Keep hope. I love this line. You are after it. This is verse Chapter 3, verse 21. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of His glory. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of His glory. Keep hope. The invitation of the Apostle Paul is to go the way of the cross. Go the way of humility. Trusting that the way of the cross is the way to resurrection. The way of humility is the way to everything you've been looking for and longing for. We go the way of sacrifice and humility and generosity and love, believing in the one who redeems humiliation and returns it as glory. He will transform the body of our humiliation and conform it so that it might be conformed to the body of His glory. We live in a power-hungry world. And we're all a part of it. We're all scratching and clawing for ours, you know? We talk about ladders, not crosses. Paul says, go the way of the cross. He says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And then goes on to say, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is their shame. They set their minds on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. It's from there that we expect a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of His glory. Go the way of the cross. Go the way of humility. Shock the world with your generosity and love. And lo and behold, the God of redemption who made a cross and a grave resurrection will redeem you too. So last thing, Martin Luther King Jr., it's Good Friday, it's April 12, 1963, the Birmingham sit-ins, they called them, led to 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, changed the landscape of American history. These are MLK's words. "The oceans of history are made turbulent by the ever-rising tides of revenge. Humanity has never risen above the injunction of eye for eye, tooth for tooth. In spite of the fact that the law of revenge solves no social problems, people continue to follow its disastrous leading. History is cluttered with wreckage of nations and individuals that pursued the self-defeating path. Jesus knew that the old eye-for-eye philosophy would leave everyone blind. He did not seek to overcome evil with evil. He overcame evil with good. Although crucified by hate, he responded with aggressive love. Generations will rise and fall. Men and women will continue to worship the God of power and bow before the altar of retaliation. But ever and again, this noble lesson of the cross will be a nagging reminder that only goodness can drive out evil. Only love can conquer hate. There it is. Ever and again, this noble lesson of the cross will be a nagging reminder that only goodness can drive out evil and only love can conquer hate. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of His glory. Friends, keep hope. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what a gift to gather around Your Word. Thank You so much for loving us that much, that not only would You send Your Son into the world to live and die and redeem, but then You'd give us the book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to inspire us to live according to the praise and glory of Your name. Thank You for this group of people in the tabernacle, in the Skinner Room, in their homes, online. Thank You for everything that You've done among us this week. Let it not be a nice week at Maranatha, though we hope it is. Let it transform our lives so that we could be the kind of people, the good news kind of people the world is in such desperate need to experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.